Hey, it's David here. Before we start the show officially today, I just wanted to thank a few of our very special listeners who yesterday went to thekickasslive.com/subscribe, subscribe to the show, and then they went on our Facebook wall, The Kickass Live with David Wood, and they let us know that they'd subscribed. And yesterday we had our largest downloaded show of all time, and we've had some very, very big shows. So Anne Kamea, Ingrid Jamalt, Gail Ann Fell, Eileen Snover, Dana Hauser, Janine Taylor Stack, Miriam Brewer, Genevieve, Jenny Kennedy, and Deborah Ann. Thank you so much. And again, just post it on our wall, not on the private message, but on the wall. Let us know you've subscribed, and then it'll be much more convenient for you. So, hey, sit back, buckle in, and enjoy the show.
Thanks for listening to The Kickass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook / The Kickass Life, on Twitter at The Kickass Life, and of course at thekickasslife.com.
Jambo, fellow adventurers, this is Mike Dooley, and you are listening to David Wood on The Kickass Life Show.
Make your life better?
This is the Kickass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Yes, it is. Hello, everyone. How are you feeling? You know, I'm a little snivelly. That's all right. Don't often get sick, so caught a little bug when I was in Toronto, and so I may cough a little bit today. You know, things may happen. I'm actually doing this in my house coat, in case you could see me. Here I am sitting here, went straight from the bedroom, straight to the microphone. I don't think I've cleaned my teeth. Oh, I'm so sorry. I could have at least cleaned my teeth. What do you think? Oh, no. You new people are thinking, who is this freak? Yep, that's right. Bit of a freak, but hey, listen, welcome to the show. And thank you so much again, everyone. I always feel so grateful. And, you know, we've really seen a huge spike these last few weeks. And you know, we're really seeing an increase in numbers. So I appreciate all you new people that are tuning in. And when I read the, the reviews on iTunes, you know, I can see that some great things are happening. So, yeah, that's awesome. And well, welcome to the show. And again, if you're brand new, you know, I do recommend sort of digging around a little bit. Go back to some of the early shows and have a listen. And, you know, I obviously some people listen to every show and some people are more selective. I can see that by the numbers. And, you know, obviously time is still time. So finding the right time to listen to a show. But there are so many that are very specific. But what I find is people are sort of getting little pieces at a time. And, you know, I talk about range a lot. It's one of my big things that I teach on and is the hidden thing I teach on all over the world when I'm teaching is this idea of range, you know, authenticity and range. Probably if I was defined as a trainer, most people would say that they find it in my programs, they're able to remove their masks and really get sort of closer to the most authentic part of themselves. And that's, I think that's pretty important, you know. What I'd like to do, though, today is I'm going to play around a little bit with maybe a little bit of a deeper message, maybe a little bit more thoughtful. I don't know. You know, I just had that feeling today. And, you know with me, there's no way that I, you know, that I'm sitting here with a script or anything like that. You can probably tell that after those of you who listen for a long time. But I want to explore some work by a lady called Araya Mountain Dreamer a little bit and sort of delve into some of the words in one of her famous poems, The Invitation. And I use this at some of my programs, so one of them specifically. And it's very seldom, though, that I have a lot of time to really dig into it because it's part of a whole program and it sort of slots in nicely and it really does its own job. Before we do, though, I wonder, you know, about this idea of discovering our own passions. And, you know, I don't know if you're into classics again, classical music, but again, in range, if you have range, then you could listen to punk rock and you can listen to classical and feel, you know, maybe not punk, but, you know, heavy metal. And my son always says that to me. I sometimes plays music and he thinks he's going to get me to go, I'll turn that thing off. And I'm like, hey, turn it up. You know, and I can see that as I have no resistance to any kind of music, that his personal range is softened. I can see that instead of just playing really, you know, loud, offensive music, he really has a great range in his own music selection. There's a little tip for your parents, you know, whatever you're going to focus on, say this with me, everyone, what I focus on expands. So if you focus on a bad behavior of your kid, I promise you it's going to keep getting worse instead of focusing on the good. And I wish I could live this. It's easy to say, much harder to live. But, you know, this whole idea of sort of unlocking passion and where passion comes from. I mean, I think back, you know, think of some of the great composers in classical music, like Beethoven, you know, and you wonder how does somebody see and able to create something that an orchestra plays. I don't know if you've ever been to watch an orchestra, but if you haven't, do it. I remember one of the most impressive ones. I was in the Sydney Opera House, in Sydney, and the sound in there, the acoustics are just over the top. And we went to see Balthazar's Feast. And what it called for, they had a full orchestra. And what was interesting for us is we were sitting behind the orchestra looking at the conductor, which is a very rare vantage point, watching the expression of the conductor, which I actually found really fascinating. And then because there's a heavy horn section, they have, you know, tubas and trumpets and trombones and everything else, saxophones. What they do is they have an additional, I think it was 40, I could be wrong here, but 40 horns in the audience up on the balconies. So suddenly, you know, from nowhere, you don't know they're sitting up there. Suddenly the horn section stands up. So imagine, you know, the Sydney Opera House is a big bowl. And at the very back, you know, behind the orchestra, we're sitting. And as we're looking out, and suddenly to the right and left, up on the sort of the balconies, up stands, you know, 30, 40, 50, I don't know how many it was. It was a lot, though, a lot of horns, and they suddenly jump into the fray for certain parts of the orchestra. It was unbelievable. And the same with ballet, again, and I just urge you, if it's something, I know it sounds weird. I remember seeing the Bolshoi Ballet when I was in Boston years and years and years ago, and I was thinking, oh, God, you know, what am I doing? But then I just allowed myself to really, really, really dive into the beauty of that, and it's unbelievable. Class. I mean, obviously, there's New Age ballet, or not New Age, but there's, you know, the sort of the modern ballet, which is phenomenal and it's very exciting and moving. But the classic ballet, it's unbelievable, and the finesse of the hand move. And I remember seeing sort of being awestruck, and just like, wow, and coming away with a sense of absolute beauty. And so again, you know, as I urge you, kick-ass life practitioners, is to sort of start delving more into the things that maybe aren't your thing. Because I always find when I open a door in my own life that I discover pathways that I, only because I'm open. And remember, I love to live in the unknown. So my favorite word is always yes. My second favorite word is always both. Yeah, both. Yeah, I mean, both. Why not? Why not have both as opposed to one or the other? But yes is the most, I think, one of the most powerful words in my language is yes. Say yes without thinking about it. So, you know, for some of us who have, we've determined our taste based on, I'm not sure what, but, you know, obviously our experience, what we've been exposed to. And sometimes we just haven't sat in one thing long enough to sort of find its own beauty. But again, when I think back to Beethoven, and let's have a quick listen into one of his pieces, all right? Here we go. Now, if you're a new person or a young person and you're struggling with this, close your eyes for a second. Just really listen. What story is painted in your head? I sometimes do that. I'll play a classical CD, and it just allows me to really create. It allows, because it's done with such... I mean, just amazing, an orchestra playing together, each one bringing something, you know. And I think of us as an orchestra. I've talked about this on previous shows. A great way to think of us, ourselves, instead of being one instrument, is all instruments, you know, that we can be the piano, and we can be the harp, and we can be the triangle, and we can be the big Tiffany drums, and we can be the oboe and the clarinet. In other words, you know, we can live our life as if we're an orchestra, not a singular instrument. And that, I think, is where the juice really comes. Because there's so just all doors are open. Everything's open. You know, and we can step into any realm and be completely at home and at peace. And it can be the wackiest, craziest. I mean, I got thrown out of a mosh pit one time. I mean, imagine being thrown. I was too rough. And I was like, at the time, I was like, I don't know what I was, 30, 35, 36. You know, they're all young people. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, mosh pit. I've never been in one. And me and my buddy Mark, we leap in there, Norm. And before long, we were asked to leave because we were being a little bit too rough. So, anyway, excuse my voice. If I have a little cough, I can feel it coming on. I'll have a cough, and you're not going to worry about that because there's no biggie. It's just we, you know, we all cough. I mean, it's not very nice in the microphone, but here we go. Hello, I'm back. See, that didn't take a second. Anyway, but I'm going to try and do this, and it's really interesting that I'm attempting something that's really quite a beautiful journey into these words when I'm feeling that my voice is probably not... you know, it's not hitting its perfect pitch, and it's not, you know, it's raspy, and I think that again adds an element of wonder to anything, right? Is where you're not afraid. It doesn't have to be perfect. It's not perfection, I think, that we resonate with each other. It's the imperfection. I always say that, you know, it's the imperfect parts of ourselves that really connect us. It's the crappy things. It's the shitty stuff we've done. It's the mistakes we've made that I think really bring us together. And so, you know, that's why I really urge, I even say to my son sometimes, I don't know, I'm kind of tongue-in-cheek joking. I say, why don't you go outside and get into trouble or something? Go break a window. Go get out. You know, modern kids today. I mean, I have a lot of friends with sons, and, you know, some play sports, of course, but, you know, my kids do sports, but, you know, there seems to be a lot more emphasis on inside, and they're connected through sort of electronics, and, you know, it's not a shame, I don't think. I think it's one of those things of evolution is that, you know, I never did anything my parents had done when they grew up, and they thought what they were doing was right. And my kids aren't going to do the things that I think, you know, you should get outside and play, go build a fort, you know. But, of course, that's just not the way that some kids are wired today. So, anyway, I'm babbling, but I want to get into this piece. It's The Invitation by Oriah Mountain Dreamer. And I'm going to do my best here to really go slow with this and allow you to sort of to think about the words and think about how these words sort of relate to, you know, a kick-ass life practitioner's sort of philosophies. And I, again, you know, if we have a personal range, means we have all types of philosophies. We can talk about anything with anyone. Any religion, you know, any, whether it's New Age or whether it's science or whether it's what, it doesn't matter. We don't worry about the content. It's the fact is about fascination being the foundation of real living. It's not, this is what I like. It's like, hey, I'm open to all things, open myself up to new possibilities. But I think what she captures in this, and she's a Canuck, you know, I'm not doing it because she's from Canada, but, you know, I just really like this piece. So let's just delve into this and see how it works out. And again, I'm going to go very slowly. And for you people that are fast like me, it may be a little excruciating. So you just have to just slow it down and take a breath. If you're driving your car, don't close your eyes, all right? But if you're if you have a moment, just let these words resonate. Just maybe close your eyes and just let it in if you have a moment. If you don't have a moment, right, why don't you do this? Why don't you push this on pause on your little thing and go find a moment? I often do that. I'll often just go and find a little spot somewhere. We did that last night and watch a sunset and just sit and just enjoy and let the, you know, unfortunately, we live in a very beautiful place, but I think there's beauty everywhere. Again, this is that personal range story again, right? So whether you're looking at a mountainscape or yesterday we were looking at a beautiful lake, mountains, but it could be a cityscape. And I find that is attractive in so many ways. Is that so? It doesn't matter where you're at, just find beauty in something. You may have to lay under a tree on a busy road, but anyway, here we go. We'll try this out, see how it works.
It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for, and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for your dream, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you have touched the center of your own sorrow, if you have been opened by life's betrayals, or have become shriveled and closed from fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it or fade it or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own. If you can dance with wildness and let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes without cautioning us to be careful, to be realistic, to remember the limitations of being human. It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling me is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself. If you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul. If you can be faithless and therefore trustworthy. I want to know if you can see beauty even when it's not pretty, every day, and if you can source your own life from its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stand on the edge of the lake and shout to the silver of the full moon, yes. It doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up after the night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done to feed the children. It doesn't interest me who you know or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand with me in the center of the fire and not shrink back. It doesn't interest me where or what, or with whom you have studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else falls away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself, and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments.
Wow. You know, it's really interesting. I was going to actually read it, and I pushed the wrong button, and I didn't even know that there was a recording on this button I pushed. I had no idea, so I was just going to play some background music. So it actually surprised me, because I was going to read it. So obviously I wasn't meant to. But yeah, so there is a wonderful journey. It's called The Invitation. And, you know, it allows us to really look into the you know, some of these sort of deeper questions that I think really are about being having a kick-ass life. You know, why sort of not interested in what you do for a living, but what you ache for, and if you dare to dream. You know, I mean, I think that's something again. You know, as you're stepping into this kick-ass life philosophy. You know, and again, I know I'm being a little philosophical today, and you know, I can be wacky and weird, but I think this is an important conversation. You know, it doesn't matter about age. It doesn't matter how old you are. I want to know if you're risk looking for a fool for love, for your dream, and for the adventure of being alive. I mean, you look at that. I mean, it's such a wonderful, wonderful, for me, this connotation of what it is that really age is nothing. There isn't an age that, I mean, my good friend Jimmy Smith, I did a show with him. If you haven't listened to Jimmy the Butcher Smith, I want you to listen to that show. You know, he started at 74 creating wealth, and him and his two daughters have made about $28 million in the last 10 years. But he was a butcher for 40 years, you know, and just this whole idea when you go to I go out with him. You know, on a dance floor at 2 a.m, this almost 85-year-old man is in the center of the dance floor, surrounded by people that are staying up and dancing because of him. And I think that's really just a testimony to his wonderful spirit that he has, which really is a spirit that that is so youthful and so young, and that's why he's part of his wealth. I mean, obviously you need the right vehicle, and I've told many of you before, and some of you have been asking me questions about this. If you need to find a vehicle, let me know, I'll help you. But I just watch him and this youthfulness. My dad's a bit the same though, but my dad doesn't have his open philosophies. My dad sort of believes things and it's more rigid, where Jimmy, you know, is really allows all of the wonder of the world to sort of seep in. And I love that next line she talks about. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you've been touched by the center of your own sorrow, if you've been opened by life betrayals or become shriveled and closed from fear of further pain. This is such a big one, because I see this all the time with people that have been hurt, is that they'll live that hurt for the rest of their life and take it with them. And it just keeps them from everything that's great. So if you've been hurt, been devastated, you've been robbed, you've been embezzled, it doesn't matter. You know, we had Deschamps, who was on the show, whose mother was murdered, and he went to the prison and forgave his murderer. That's a great show if you haven't listened to this young man. It was a great show. But I mean, you know, for fear of further pain, I think is why so many people don't discover and live the true path of a kick-ass life. It's this, you know, fear of the future, regret of the unknown. I'm sorry, regret of the past, fear of the future, right? Fear of the unknown, right? She says, I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it, fade it, or fix it. That is so powerful, because so what? Yeah, you've been hurt, so what? And so many people are attached to that story. I find that because people live into a story, so they'll keep repeating the same story over. Oh, you don't understand. You know, I was blah, blah, blah. You don't understand. I've got blah, blah, blah. So they focus on that part of them. And listen to her words again, without moving to hide it, fade it, or fix it. I mean, it just is. It is what it is, but it's part of that journey that allows us to step into something greater. And I'd say that the crappy bits of our life are truly the bits that allow us to move into greater places. As long as we don't sit there trying to pretend it didn't happen, or you know, forget it altogether, or try and fix it, you know, why not, you know, just go with it, right? So this idea, if you can be with joy, mine or your own, if you can dance with wildness and feel let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes, without cautioning us to be careful, to be realistic, to remember the limitations of being human. You adults, especially adults, you know, just, you know, instead of growing up, grow down, you know, let the kid out, for goodness sake. You know, it's that wild, that let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes, without cautioning to be careful, to be realistic. You know, and there's that whole idea again, is it's so much, the story we're telling ourselves often gets in the way of the real adventure of life. But I mean, just to not have to live without apology. And that's why I say everyone's waiting for someone to go first. You know, you can go to a party, and I know that Jen and I, when we're at parties, we're always dance our faces off all night long. And, you know, we're not worried what people think. And people often come up and buy us drinks, and they'll say, oh my goodness, it's so much fun watching you. And it's almost like giving them permission to be goofy. They need somebody else to do it first before you do it. Don't wait for other people to give you permission to be silly, or to be, you know, to dance with wildness, you know, to have that ecstasy fill you. I mean, that just isn't necessary. And I tell you, the sort of the philosophy of a kick-ass like practitioner is you're always willing to go first. And it doesn't interest me if the story you're telling me is true. I want to know if you'll disappoint another and be true to yourself. If you can bear the accusations of betrayal and not betray your own soul. If you can be faithless and therefore trustworthy. I love that. Disappoint another and yet be true to yourself. Isn't that it, really? You know, we do so much. I know that a lot of my life, when I lived in my lying stage, which is about 40 years, you know, a lot of that was just truly about what other people think, I thought about me. And so I would live in a lie, fearful of disappointing another. The truth is the most powerful thing. My 8 most favorite words: tell the truth all the time with compassion. The compassion part's important, But disappointing other people, but to be true to yourself, that's truly where it's at. And that's where some people, again, and I'm not an advocate of divorce, but so many people are really, really unhappy but won't be truthful to each other about it. They won't step out of that discontent to discover something more. And even when they start being, if they were really honest, maybe they wouldn't have to step out. Maybe it's that sort of be true to yourself. You may disappoint someone, but that may be exactly what it needs to jumpstart something more beautiful, right? So I want to know if you can see beauty even when it's not pretty every day, and if you can source your own life from its presence. But the see beauty every day. This is what I talk about. This is why I love this poem so much. You know, we talk about this idea of seeing past the behavior of someone. You know, when someone's a jerk off, you know, behind that is someone really beautiful. Behind that is something really, really pure. Behind that is that the essence of the very soul that they were born with. And I always say that, you know, we sort of learn how to be an asshole. It's not something, you know, no one's born bad. I mean, you know, it just doesn't happen. And so this idea, though, but seeing beauty, and that's why, you know, whether someone carries a lot of weight or whether they're, you know, a stunning model, it doesn't matter. I find that beauty is so much richer than that. It's so much deeper than that. It's so important, though. And I love that line so much. If you can see beauty even when it's not pretty. And imagine living our life where we can do that, where we can just really, when people are around us. And this is not just people, of course. I mean, it can be any situation where we see the beauty in it. And I know the beauty. Listen, this is even in a hard situation when people are fighting. Oh, I don't fight. No, I'm in that beauty. There's a beauty of being able to express fully what you're feeling. And then afterwards, Jen and I had a little bit of a disagreement yesterday in the car, you know, and it was so funny watching how quickly we're able to resolve it and come to the point of, hey, you know, sorry about that. I love you. You know, it's just, but we were miscommunicating, but there's a beauty in that miscommunication because there's so much trust that can be built on the end of it when there is no energy that is carried forward, when you're able to let go of it and just move on and just, you know, to both look at each other and to let go of that. And that's another way of seeing beauty, even when it's not pretty, knowing that in the darkness, the darkest moments, on the other side of that darkness is something really beautiful. And so it's okay. It's okay to be in there for a while. It's okay to have a crappy moment. It's okay not to be enlightened. It's okay to yell and scream sometimes, you know. Anyway, I want to know if you can live with failure, yours or mine, and still stand at the edge of the lake and shout at the silver of the moon, yes, yes. You know, this is the one where I see so many, especially men, who have failed at something and shrivel back now from all further adventure in business or in life because it didn't go well, you know, and they live with that guilt. And I've talked about that with my dad. My dad had a business fail right after the Army, and it's almost like, I mean, he was 65, he's 85 now, 20 years ago, and it's like it was yesterday. It still lives in his wife's thinking. And so this idea of yes, you're going to fail. Yes, it's going to be messy. Yes, some things won't go right, but who gives a crap? Just get back up and get moving right again. Take that experience and step in. Don't make the same mistakes twice. I mean, sometimes it takes twice, but don't make them three times. How's that? I'll give you permission twice, but just still stand at the edge of the lake and shout to the silver, the full moon, yes. It doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up after a night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done for the children. You know, that's that whole thing, proving that I lived in for so long, where I spent so much time proving or attempting to prove what I was, and yet really, it was all a front. It was that big mask that was on, you know. And I think so many, I always say, you never know what's going on in someone's bedroom or their bank account. But, you know, this idea, you know, that you can, after a night of grief and despair, you can still get up and needs to, you know, and do what needs to be done. All right. It doesn't interest me to know, interest me who you know or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. You know, that's the whole loyalty piece for me. You know, loyalty is such a big thing, is being there when you're needed, and being that person that, you know, it really isn't about who you know or that, again, that the sort of that fake badge that we wear quite often. But will you stand there and not shrink back when the time is needed, when you're needed? You know, and I did a show on that recently. So it doesn't interest me where or what with whom you have studied. I want to know if what sustains you from the inside when all else falls away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments. Again, this is by Uriah Mountain Dreamer. And she actually wrote a book called The Invitation. And so, you know, as we get to the end of the show here, I want you to think about these words and, you know, liking the company you keep, falling in love in those empty moments. And I just a beautiful way to end this piece is, again, it comes back down to that self-love of the imperfection, I think. You know, that really is what I think is one of the most freeing things in our human existence is to... You know, what sustains you when, from the inside when all else falls away? You know, and that is that sort of as we started off, you know, we started off with that beautiful piece by Beethoven. You know, one of my other favorite tracks, you know, that I use at one of my programs called Beyond Courage is from Gladiator. Listen to this. There you go, 30 minutes. We're at the end of the show, and I'll let this music play out. This is from the Gladiator soundtrack. I love this piece. But then as you let this music fill you up, just really think about the words from Uriah, and I'll see if I can get her on the show. And if you know her, you can get her on the show with me. So anyway, we'll see you on the other side. Thank you so much. I send my love.